I always say this after a program like this. Groucho Marx always said, never follow a kid or a dog. That was just absolutely wonderful. Wonderful to see that. You know, there's just such a blessing in that. And witnessing the joy of the Lord in so many unique and marvelous ways. So we greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And on this Palm Sunday, we're going to read the Markan text, which you heard out of Matthew, but we're going to read the one from Mark, which is chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, where we read in the name of our Lord. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this most amazing appearance through your Son, Jesus the Christ, by which we have been transformed into your very own offspring. And we pray, Father, that we would see his incredible transformation and know and recognize, Father, what he has done for us. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this really is the wonderful contrast that we deal with. All through Lent, you heard the kids, they were talking about this. All through Lent, we talked about this year of understanding this marvelous transformation that God has wrought in us through Jesus Christ, that he has given us a new birth. He has raised us unto new life so that if we understand ourselves rightly and we're able to look in the mirror, that we understand we don't just see ourselves in the old way, that we also see ourselves as the children of God that have been renewed through the finished work of Jesus Christ, that are washed and cleansed of his blood. But now you understand very clearly. Do you understand what it's like for Jesus to look in the mirror? And you understand what we talk about on this day. This is the King of creation, the Lord of glory, the one who, as he says in Job, he set the boundary for the sea. He set and determined the earth and what it would look like. He determined the fullness of the universe and everything that is in it. And he set it all in its place. And can you imagine what it's like for him to look in the mirror? To understand and see himself as this kind of not good-looking Jewish boy. Because that's what Isaiah says. He didn't look so great. He didn't look beautiful. He didn't look like anything special. Can you imagine what it was like for the Lord of glory in the fullness of all that he was to recognize and see that picture? If you can recognize that, then you know what this day is all about. Because this is what he was willing to do to save us. He was willing to give up all of that. He was willing to come from the heavenlies. He was willing to be born very humbly, with no special hoopla. You know, nobody at that time paid a lot of attention to it at all, except Herod, who wanted to kill him. And he entered into our world, which was full of darkness and full of sin, because he wanted to transform us, because he wanted to save us. He wanted to renew us, and he wanted to give us life. And so when he enters into Jerusalem, and we know the story, Zechariah tells us, you know, your king comes to you and he's riding on a donkey. And this was totally the opposite of what they expected, because when during the intertestamental time, which is the time of the writings between the Old and the New Testament, they really had a big understanding of when the Messiah came, the Messiah was going to show up. He was going to show up with a big army. He was going to come in and he'd start killing Romans, and then he'd turn around and make a golden age for Israel, and he'd do all these sorts of things like that. And here he comes. Here comes your king, riding on a colt of a donkey. And yeah, they do wonderful things for him, which is one of the things that they did. They would take their garments. You know, we go to the closet, we try to figure out, what am I going to wear today? Back in the old world, they didn't have probably more than one change of clothing, if they did have one. So they take off their garments and put them in front of him so he can ride the donkey over top of them. And they took palm fronds and put them on the road. And they shout, Hosanna, which literally means deliver us, deliver us. And it becomes a shout of praise. And in shouting this, they are acknowledging the strangest of things. That this guy that doesn't look like much, nothing special about him, that he's their king. And within a week, they will scream for his death. Because he won't do what they want him to do. He's not going to kill Romans. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have any interest in killing them. He has a much, much greater interest in saving them. Do you understand what Jesus saw when he looked in the mirror? The fullness of the glory of God. In human flesh. Sent to save us. You see, this is what this is all about. And this is why we have those kids get up here, you know, and the people that designed that Sunday school program, they're brilliant. You know, Gwen and Kara and everybody else who does that stuff, they're brilliant. You know, they get up there and put all this stuff together in this very, very simple form. And you hear those little voices read, and you hear the little voices sing. Because that's the transformational work of God. Out of every one of those kids' voices comes the glory of God. Comes the fullness of the manifestation of all that God came to do. Even if they misread and they don't know what a foal is. You know, even if that happens, you understand right away that the glory of God is present in such a marvelous and fascinating way, because the transformation has been wrought through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what Palm Sunday is for. Your king comes to you and he's riding on the foal of a donkey. Your king comes to you and he establishes this kingdom which he establishes forever. But he doesn't build it in a human way. He builds it in an extra human way. He builds it in our hearts. He builds it within us. He builds it in every one of those kids. He builds it in their heart, and he builds it in their voice, and he builds it in their song, and he builds it day in and day out, over and over and over again, that we would see the glory of God. See the glory of God, because it is the glory of God that fills this place, and it is the glory of God that fills you and I. So it's high time, as we come to the close of Lent, that we learn to look in the mirror and understand what God has done. This is the transformation that he has done. He has given to us to see the glory of God, to see this transformation that he has wrought within us, and to begin to see it in the face of every person that we encounter, because that's what Jesus saw. Even within the people who were screaming for his death, because he went to the cross to save them too. And this is the message. This is really all that we're here for. There isn't a thing we can do for God. He doesn't need anything from us. But what we can do is be God in this world, to be Jesus Christ for one another, to recognize and see God's glory, and to proclaim it, to praise it, to give thanks for it, to acknowledge it in our daily lives, because who of us does not have some person that blesses our life? That has some person that looks at us and sees us just a little bit different. Some person that loves us and cares for us. And in that, we see the glory of the living God. You see, we have never been abandoned. Jesus Christ is constantly with us. The only thing is, are we willing to see it? See, that's really the key. Are we willing to see it? To understand it? To embrace it? Because if we do that, then we understand Easter. Because I hate to tell you, this may be a surprise, but the tomb has been empty for 2,000 years. That work is already done. Now the work is in us. And that's the glory of God. He didn't send Jesus as some super powerful king. He sent him humbly in riding on a donkey to receive the praise of people who didn't understand what he was really doing at all. And he suffered and died for them to take away their sin and to give them everlasting life, that anyone who would come to him, he would freely receive through his blood, and he would give them peace for eternity. See, the whole understanding of this is to know that kingdom, to understand that kingdom, and to dwell in that peace, which is greater than anything that this world can offer. And to know the life that transcends physical death, that transcends everything, because it is infinite and eternal. And that's why I always say, I really do think that should make you smile when you realize what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you're greeted by one of those voices of somebody that loves you or thinks well of you, when maybe they shouldn't all the time. And you understand, and you see, and you share in the glory of the living God. So you heard about the services of Holy Week. That was a pretty good advertisement in the program. You're certainly all invited to celebrate those too, and to celebrate the Easter with us, because it is the greatest season of the year, and it is the most remarkable gift ever poured out upon humankind, a gift that we experience every day, and we thank God for, with hearts full of thankfulness and praise. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we are so thankful for this gift. We're so thankful for each of these young ones, Father, who have come forward to share their gifts, their talent with us. But Father, we recognize and realize it is your glory in them. And Father, we praise and thank you for every little bit of it that we see. And we pray, Father, that you would constantly remind us that this is how we are to see your world. That, Father, we are to understand your Son coming on a donkey and recognize that this was always your plan to come and dwell with us, to save us. That, Father, that we would know your peace, that we would know your life, that we would know your joy, and we would know your salvation forever. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.